Greetings and shalom. This is Adrian Scott, and welcome to Truth and Testimony, the broadcast. In this particular video, we're going to continue my Bible break series, and we'll be doing a reading of Matthew chapter 7. I will be going, I'm going to the big book. This is an old school King James. So I will ask you to bear with me, because as anyone who reads older versions of the King James knows that if it's not your first go-to, it can be a little tricky to get through. So yeah, I'll just ask you to bear with me. But this is going to kind of wrap up a little mini series that I was doing on Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. So chapter 5 and 6 are already up and posted. If you've not seen them yet, I do encourage you, go back, check them out. It's nice to follow them in sequence because there is a running narrative here and it all kind of ties together. Each chapter can kind of tell its own story, but you get a bigger picture if you put them together. So having said that, let's not waste any more time, and we'll get, I'm not looking forward to this. Let's get right into Matthew chapter 7. And in many versions of the Bible, they will put the words of Yeshua or Jesus in red, and such is the case that pretty much the entirety of this chapter is in red print. So therefore, all of these are the words of the Messiah. So chapter 7, starting at verse 1. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, Will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore all things, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, Have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. So there is Matthew chapter 7, and I'm kind of going back to my older system here, where I like to read first, and then I'm going to go back and kind of discuss a few things. So first off, that idea of back in verse 3 and 4 and 5, this idea of getting the mote out of thy brother's eye. In other versions, they translate it as a stick, that a stick is in someone's eyes, but a log is in your own eye. And the whole idea is, don't be sitting there pointing fingers of condemnation or even reproof at someone else when you are in the midst of your own sin. So clean your own house first. Make sure your act is together. And then you have the authority and the right and the obligation, I would say, to then talk to your brother, right? And deal with the stick that is in his eye. But first, deal with your own stuff. You need your own home, your house, spiritually to be clean. Then the next part, this connects to another passage in the Bible where it says, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you shall find it, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that ask receives, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. But it does kind of, to me, it clarify this point in another passage when he says, if you do so in my will or in my name, right? So if you're asking for the right things, if you're sitting there and just saying, you know, I want $1 million so that I can, you know, take advantage of the downtrodden and poor, you're probably not going to receive it. So it's just that idea of if you're asking in his name, in his will, right? Then probably the biggest part of this chapter is this idea of entering in at the straight gate. And then it talks about the wide gate, the broad gate that leads to destruction. And many will go in that through that gate and not enter into the kingdom of heaven. But the true gate, the one that leads unto life, is narrow. And few, according to verse 14, few will find it. I propose the idea that all of these people that are on the broad road and the narrow road are all professing Christians. I don't think that they're talking about a bunch of atheists, because those atheists are not going to be traveling on those roads. They're going to be on roads some other part of town, prophetically speaking. So I think that what we're talking about here are believers, or supposed believers, right? And just to affirm that as it continues, right after he makes that comment about the broad gate and the narrow gate, he talks about, starting in verse 15, beware of false prophets. Well, if you're an atheist, you're not prophesying, not religiously, right? At least not that kind of religion. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. So they look good, they sound good, but they are there to deceive you. Now, I would add to the extension to that, that that deception may not even overtly be malicious. If they're functioning in a doctrinal system that is corrupt and filled with lies, they may not know any better. They may think that they're doing the right thing. What they're teaching is not life, but they believe they are. And I think their motives are good, but unfortunately, through deception and brainwashing, what they end up teaching is not good. And that's why you should recognize, as it mentions, right, you should know them by their fruits, right? That's one thing. So you can look at anybody, be it a godly person or not, and look at the kind of fruit they're bearing. Because it is absolutely possible that somebody who is completely without faith, with no belief in God, is still doing incredible things. They are helping the widows and the orphans and the downtrodden, and they're feeding the hungry and clothing the naked, and they're doing all of these things. And they're doing it not for payment in return, but because it's the right thing to do. And what's kind of funny in that case is that's all the things that God expects us to do. That's what he says, care for the widows and orphans, et cetera, et cetera. Right? But they're doing it without God. So what they're doing is very godly, but they're not doing it for God, if that makes sense. So it is possible to not have that, but you can tell them by their fruits. Now, you would expect if somebody is a believer, whatever, you know, variation of church or faith they might be in, that they should be doing similar things and look at them. See what kind of fruit they're bearing, right? Because part of the idea is that they should be provoking the Gentiles to jealousy. That non-believers are looking at these people and seeing the things that they're doing, selflessly providing for others and joyful in so doing, and their lives are full and complete. It's not about having a ton of money or stuff, that spiritually they are well. And it shows, and these people see this, and it's like, why? Why is their marriage so solid? Why are they so happy all the time? I want some of that, right? So it's supposed to provoke these people to jealousy. But it's all looking at them, and you can see the kind of fruits that they're bearing. And I love how it mentions that, right? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, and a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. It's not won't, it can't. It can't. So it's not that hard to tell. Just look and see the kind of fruit that whoever is bearing. Then this really gets into, I think, what hammers home the entire point of all of that, which is verse 22 through 24. When he says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name, we've not cast out devils? And in your name, we've done many wonderful works? So can I say that it's not sounding like they're saying that they attempted to do so? It's saying that they did cast out devils, that they did many wonderful works, that they did prophesy in his name. Yet, what is his response to these people in verse 23? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, this is essential. Because I would challenge you, look at the language behind that word iniquity. I believe in the Greek, if I'm not mistaken, it is anomia, which is without law. And we say without Torah. What is Torah? God's word. So if you do not have God's word, it doesn't matter what you're doing in the name of the Lord. It doesn't matter how many devils you're casting out. It sounds like he's going to tell you, depart from me, I never knew you. Why? Because you're workers of lawlessness. Right? You're not within the will of the Father. You're not in his word. And then he clarifies in the next verse, in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. Now, what are his sayings? Because in another passage of scripture, he says, I came not to say anything of my own will, but only that which the Father sent me to say. I'm telling you what he wants me to say. I'm only speaking his words. And do we have an example of his words? I believe we do. I believe it's called the Old Testament. And when you hear these things and do them, you're building your house upon a rock. And that house will stand because it's built on rock. And then he clarifies, everyone that hears these things, so they're going to church, they're hearing the words, but they're not doing them, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And when the storms came, that house fell because he didn't have the foundation of God's word. Once again, let me just turn that around. Be in your Bible as often as you possibly can. Really, being in your scriptures should be pretty much the most important thing you do every day. Every day. You have to work your jobs. You know, we have to go about our daily lives. We do have to exist. We have to feed our kids. And, you know, so yes, I understand all of that. But come on, really. We can find the way, we can find the time to get some of God's word in every day. My wife and I do it every night as we're settling in for bed. We'll read other times when we get opportunity. So sometimes we may jump into the Bible 2, 3, 4 times a day and we'll read stuff, whether it's together or independently, we'll do that. But you know what? Even if none of that other stuff happens, we read every night as we're settling in for bed. So we're getting some of his word. And that's it. And then we're trying to act upon that word that we're reading, right? So once again, I will say it for the 1,000th time, and I will continue to say it. I keep the Torah not to get saved, but because I am saved, right? So I am showing my obedience. I am walking out that belief. I am walking out that forgiveness the best that I can. I'm not perfect. You know, but I'm doing it the best that I can. So that's a big one, because this was a huge one that jumped out to me. The people that are prophesying in his name, that are casting out demons in his name, that are doing these wonderful works in his name, yet he still turns around and professes unto them, I never knew you. And you know what? I'm going to do a little bonus here as something that I think really connects to this. And it is going back to the book of the Revelation in chapter 12. All right. So Revelation chapter 12. And this is something that very much connects to what we just read in Matthew chapter 7. And really, I mean, I always like to say, read the entire chapter. In this case, I am going to cut it down to the main verse, which is verse 17. And I'm just going to make one simple point with this, and I think I'll probably wrap the video up. So verse 17, and the dragon, now the dragon is, I think, generally accepted to be the devil, was wroth, was angry with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Which, now here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. Which keep the commandments of God. Which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So you're professing faith in Jesus? Great. Are you keeping the commandments of God as well? Because it sounds like to me, if I'm inferring a little bit from that, if you are keeping the commandments of God, but you are not carrying the testimony of Yeshua, the dragon's not concerned about you. You're not a threat to him. If you are carrying the testimony of Yeshua, but not keeping the commandments of God, same effect. You're not a threat to him. He doesn't care about you. He's going after those that keep the commandments of God and carry the testimony of Yeshua. That's the book of Revelation. That's what it says. Read it. Anyways, that's a big one. So it's just watch for that fruit. Be wary of the fruit that the people you are following, myself included, if you're actually watching this to learn something, right? Observe the fruit in my life, right? Am I bearing good fruit, right? Now, again, there's an old video. It's in my Hebrew series. If you haven't watched it, I would encourage you to go check that out. And it was on the Hebrew word for fruit, which is pre, right? And there's three letters in that. Each letter represents something. So the one letter represents the head of a person. And when we're in Hebrew context, when we're talking about the head of a person, we're talking about their character or nature, not a physical head or bust. It's a reference to their who they are, how they behave, how they act, how they think. It's their nature or character. So that's what that head represents. Then the other letter is a hand in work, in action, doing something. So you're doing something. And then the last one is a mouth. So fruit, by the definition of those letters in that word, is a combination of what you say, the testimony of Jesus Christ, what you do, keep the commandments of God, which define who you are, praying for things in the name of the Messiah, in his will, and you will get it. So there's what I'm going to wrap up on. So that is Matityahu in Hebrew, Matthew chapter 7. Again, check out chapter 5 and 6 of Matthew if you haven't seen those yet. Even if you've watched to this point, you can still go back and watch them because they do connect. And also, don't forget my Hebrew series. More videos will be getting added to that now that things are settling down a little bit. And until the next Bible break, I just wish blessings to you all in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus our Savior. Shalom and bye for now.